You've probably heard this theory. People are not going back to work because they can make more in unemployment benefits if they stay home. Well, those disappointing jobs numbers we learned about last week have sparked a partisan debate about this unsubstantiated claim. Republicans in the U.S. Chamber of Commerce argue the $300 a week in federal unemployment benefits have incentivized people not to work. Well, President Biden yesterday weighed in.
I know there's been a lot of discussion since Friday, since Friday's report, that people are being paid to stay home rather than go to work. Well, we don't see much evidence of that.
And on the state level, the debate over public health versus the need to rev up the economy also continues. Mississippi and Arkansas are the latest red states ending these extended unemployment benefits early. And in a moment, we'll get to the view of what that decision could mean for the people of Arkansas with the director of social services at the Salvation Army in Little Rock. But first, let's bring in Andrew Stettner, who is a senior fellow at the Century Foundation. Andrew, welcome back to Here and Now.
Good afternoon.
So let's lay out some facts. We're still about 8 million jobs short of pre-pandemic levels. Only about 266,000 were created in April. What is the actual data on why people weren't employed last month?
Well, the good news is that people are, in fact, looking for work. And, you know, there are just still a lot of barriers, you know, to that happening. You know, women have some of the lowest employment rates. We have many states where the vaccine penetration, you know, is still, you know, getting there. So we have a lot of things in the way of a full recovery.
Well, let's break down some of the reasons. Economists at Yale who studied extended unemployment benefits last year found no evidence they prevented people from returning to work. However, there are these anecdotes floating around that there are people whose benefit checks were larger than what they were earning on the job. And some employers have said they have not been able to find workers. What's going on here?
Well, you know, as the president said, if you're on unemployment benefits and your old employer calls you back to work, with very few exceptions, you have to go back to that job. But many of the employers, you know, that are struggling right now, you know, they're in what we call the kind of low wage and low end part of our labor market. You know, in surveys, for example, of restaurant workers found that many people left that sector during the pandemic, not just because of public health, but because the tips weren't very good. So I've done focus groups and people have told me the same thing. You know, I went to take care of someone in their home because that was a minimum wage job, but it just felt a lot safer. Now the restaurants want to hire people again, and the workers that they did that work don't necessarily want it. Trucking is similar. It's a very kind of poor quality job. Quite frankly, you can't work at a restaurant and make ends meet if there's not affordable childcare available, you know, for you.
Yes, let's speak to that just a little bit more. How much does the shortage in childcare factor into all of this?
Well, I think when you're seeing women's employment really being the lag here, you know, we have to, you know, recognize that we're not going to fix this. And I think that's why it's so important that these federal pandemic unemployment benefits were scheduled, you know, to go through, you know, Labor Day. Schools are going to be reopening. And we know that summer childcare is the worst time of year to find childcare because everyone needs it. And, you know, the centers have trouble finding staff themselves at that time. So when you're short 8 million jobs and you have 16 million people on unemployment benefits, you can't expect people to get back to work overnight. People need to search for work, find the right fit, you know, for their skills and aptitudes. What these governors are doing is kind of throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Well, there's so many states, though, that are now taking this action to phase out their unemployment benefits. We heard that Mississippi just yesterday is the latest. The governor there actually said, "It has become clear to me that we cannot have a full economic recovery until we get the thousands of available jobs in our state filled." I mean, this is up against the public health crisis that we're dealing with. Can you speak to that? I mean, is ending extended benefits going to solve that problem in the long haul? What I'm hearing from you is no.
You know, it's not going to magically create more jobs. There's simply not enough available jobs, you know, for all the workers, you know, that are out there. And, you know, we just have to call things like they are. In some of these states, unfortunately, you know, you have white governors largely black populations, the majority, 66% in Mississippi on unemployment benefits are black. People want people to take poor jobs immediately. You know, I will guarantee that if these benefits are in place, the economy will continue to recover and jobs will continue to get filled over time because people, you know these benefits are temporary in nature. Let's let people one by one, 10 by 10, you know, find jobs and allow the economy to recover over the summer.
Andrew, before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit, though, about Montana's approach and your thoughts on it. The state's unemployment is at 3.8%. That's near pre-pandemic lows, according to the governor there. Instead of unemployment, Montanans who accept a job will receive $1,200 in return to work bonuses. Is that an approach that makes sense to you?
You know, I think we know from the evidence that these reemployment bonuses have very little impact on the margins on people's decision, you know, to return to work. When they cut off these unemployment benefits, there's no support for people until they find a job. And that's going to put pressure on individuals. You know, Montana has the fifth highest Native American population in the country. That's a one with a very high unemployment rate. Now that support is gone, you know, for that community. So we can't think of just the state. We have to think about populations that are hardest hit within these states.
Andrew Stettner is a senior fellow at the Century Foundation. As always, thank you so much, Andrew.
Thank you so much, Tanya. Great to talk with you.
Let's bring in Matthew DeSalvo, who is the director of social services at the Salvation Army in Little Rock, Arkansas. And Matthew, you just heard what we talked about. What's your perspective? What's the biggest reasons why people who come to your organization for help are struggling?
Well, I think the big thing is there's a lack of resources in general in communities where people are in need. In terms of needing mental health treatment, physical health treatment, you know, just resources in general to be able to get the things that they need to move forward. And then there's also just a lack of resources when it comes to places where you can have gainful employment. You know, we're seeing during the pandemic, businesses are shutting down, closing their doors. So it makes it really hard for people whose lives have been completely upended by the pandemic in terms of having children at home instead of being at school. The money that they're receiving right now just isn't enough. And I think the money that they were receiving before in their job wasn't enough either.
This is an interesting point that you bring up, that the money that they're receiving in unemployment benefits, that doesn't necessarily cover the cost of living, and neither did their previous jobs. Can you speak to the people that are coming to you, the situations that they're in?
There's just a variety. You know, it could be that, you know, they were laid off from their previous job and now they're, you know, in need and it's impossible to get ahead because they were already behind and this is just kind of snowballed. It could be that there was a pre-existing condition that kept them from being able to work during the pandemic. It could be that they're taking care of a couple different family members that are vulnerable populations during the pandemic. And that's taken that kind of main breadwinner in the house and brought them into being just a full-time caregiver. There's just a variety of different needs out there.
Matthew, for those who are wanting to return to work, what are the calculations people are making between balancing the benefits and returning to work?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that question because you still are going to have children or people you're taking care of in the home that are still, you know, full-time online students. So how do you balance that? I think there's also what opportunities are actually out there in terms of employment. You know, like I know we mentioned restaurants, you know, are people coming in? Are, you know, the tips going to be fair? Are my, you know, my previous employers didn't really take care of me. Are these people going to be different? There's just so many questions to that. And there's so much uncertainty. But those are just kind of a few of the ones that we've run up against is just a cost-benefit analysis.
What are you bracing for as we move through the next few months?
The moratoriums being lifted on eviction notices and the disconnect notices being sent out from utility companies. Is there enough money out there to go around? And the answer is no. So we have to be really good stewards of the funds that we have to be able to help people just move towards some sort of level of sustainability and just help them get back on their feet.
This has become a political conversation, but you're dealing in the day-to-day with everyday people who are struggling. What's the message that you'd like for politicians to hear as they factor through how to handle unemployment benefits?
Well, I'm not necessarily going to speak to politicians. I'll speak to the general public. It's just listen. Just take the opportunity to hear stories, to listen to the stories that we're collecting here at the Salvation Army, and just know that these are real people with real needs in a real life situation. And just know that those are giving people hope. These organizations like the Salvation Army have the opportunity to give people hope.
Matthew DeSalvo is the Director of Social Services at the Salvation Army in Little Rock, Arkansas. Matthew, thank you so much.
Thank you.